Well, good morning, y'all. Get that first cup of coffee poured up. Let's pile out of the bed, comb your hair, put on some clothes, and let's get out in the garden. Well, you don't have to put on any clothes, I guess. depending on where you live, right? Huh? It's a beautiful morning. It's going to be hot today. How big is your privacy screen? Hey, you've joined Rosie on the House here. We're in the garden this next hour with John J. Harper. Listen, you can join the conversation if you've got a question about anything having to do with your landscape or gardening. Give us a ring. 1-888-767-4348. I've got a question. How do you mow all of the Arizona Central Basin? Took a tour through the Quad City area, up and over, rode up Schnebley Hill Road and went through Sedona. And that whole area needs a good lawn mow. It's absolutely green and gorgeous.
Well, you know, beef prices are pretty good. I got a hunch there are going to be a lot of cattle bought and turned out.
Man.
To graze.
It is absolutely beautiful right now. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful.
It's about as green as I think I've ever seen the mid-elevate, you know, Cortis Junction, Dewey, Humboldt.
Oh, man.
Some California poppies blooming between here and Payson on the, you know, on the right-of-ways of the road. That, I've never seen that in late summer. That's a spring thing. So wildflowers, you know. This, unfortunately, I don't think I would advise going for a drive this weekend because you share the road with lots of people. But sometime in the next few weeks, great time to get out and see what rain does to the to this state.
Our cattle ranchers are happy because of the pasture right now.
I bet they're
their
really
tanks
happy.
Are full and they've got grass.
Just at the beginning of the summer, we were going to go down and spend some time with some ranchers in Sulphur Springs Valley, north of Wilcox. And they said, Rosie, don't even bring your horses. The fire danger is so high right now. We're not even putting shoes on our horses while we go out and round up the cattle. It just everything was drier than a bone.
And then after the rains, you go out there and it's just an absolutely beautiful landscape. So if anyone wants to take a day drive almost anywhere right now, it's just beautifully green.
And that is the voice of Julie Murphy, our Arizona Farm Bureau. She's in with us this Saturday. Speaking of great grazing grounds right now, we're talking about the small business as it relates to the farmers and ranchers.
Our farmers and ranchers, 97% of farms and ranches in America, and same statistic applies to Arizona, are family-owned and operated. And you see that in the ranch families. You see that in our farm families. It's pretty cool.
Well, thank you for spending time with us this morning. We'll be talking more on the Farmer's Almanac, and we'll also be taking your calls at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. With the rain and the cooler temperatures and the calendar, it's fall planting season.
You know, it's pretty amazing what happens to the planting calendar when we flip to that magical month of September. We go from about 5 to 7 items in August to about 25 or 30 items that you can start planting in September. And so when we think of fall and winter cool season vegetable crops in the garden here, we the easiest way, and we've talked about this before, for me to try and remember is it's things that you eat roots, stems, or leaves of, by and large. So carrots and beets and radishes and turnips and, of course, leafy things like spinach and kale and lettuce and things that are stems like celery and
all the stuff you fought your mama to eat.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens to our taste buds as we get older. We find that we like all kinds of things, you know, better than we did than when you're forced. I think there's something about being forced to eat something. You're not going to like any of it, you know. But
and now as an adult, the fall and winter season are my favorite. I don't know how mature I am as an adult, but they are my favorite seasons now. I used to have the same fight with my parents.
Eat your broccoli.
Eat
your broccoli or your cauliflower. And cauliflower, actually, I really enjoy that steamed and a little crunchy. And Stan grows some incredible cauliflower. That's one I haven't been able to get a harvest out of yet.
You know, it's one of those things. You know, people can grow certain things. You know, cauliflower is actually, you know, pretty easy, I think. But broccoli, on the other hand, I've never really gone to great. It tastes all right. It just doesn't look very good, and there's not a lot of it. So, you know, you learn what you can grow and what you can't. And I don't have, you know, generally have enough room to grow everything anyway. So But those are the types of things. And I'll tell you what, with roasting vegetables, that's changed. You know, you take things and roast them. Oh, my goodness. And make mash instead of mashed potatoes, take cauliflower and mash it and use it like a potato.
I think that's broadened everybody's palate and their taste buds just because we do a lot more with vegetables than we used to.
Absolutely.
You know, put broccoli in mac and cheese. Everybody loves mac and cheese. So add some greens to your mac and cheese, and it just is wonderful.
There you go.
I never tasted a vegetable I didn't like buried in cheese.
Yeah. There you go.
Just a little more cheese.
Melt a little cheese on it.
This will just taste wonderful.
So let's talk of the prep. Where do you start?
Yeah, well, that's
a good point. With the soils.
Let's get back to basics. And, yeah, especially after, you know, a long, hot summer when, you know, either the garden's been just sitting there baking or we've been overwatering it and, you know, it's probably got some weeds and it's been watered and neglected and all of that. So we need to get some organic material into the soil. You know, our desert soils just don't have any. And that's the one thing that's the most important. So a good compost. I like, you know, the Hickman's compost we've been selling for a couple of years now. Really like it. If you're using your own or making your own, make sure it's well composted. Best way to tell that is it shouldn't have, number one, it shouldn't have steam coming out of it. And number two, it shouldn't have like an ammonia-y smell. It's okay if it smells a little manure-y, but something very kind of septic kind of a smell, that means it's not well composted.
And I've been meaning to ask, if I run water on it and wait for the water to run out, if there's a little bit of brown, it's not done yet. I waited for it to get a little clear. I mean, when you, it just doesn't seem like it's rinsed out enough. It looks too much like the horse stall.
Yeah.
More as opposed to compost.
Well, that could be one way to tell, too. But usually the way, you know, is just if you can stick your hand in there and it's really hot and it's still giving off lots of heat, it's still breaking down.
And that's going to burn the seed up if you stick it in.
It sure could, or the young transplants. And it also robs nitrogen out of the soil. The microorganisms that break down organic material are fueled by nitrogen. And we don't have enough nitrogen anyway, and then you start taking it away, it also creates an issue with that. So good compost, whether you're making it yourself or buying it, just the same principle applies. It shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be giving off a lot of heat. Be generous. You know, for a 10 by 10 area, we're going to recommend somewhere between probably 5 and 12 cubic feet of organic material. Gypsum to kind of help buffer some of those salty conditions that we have. Our water is salty. So gypsum at about 5 to 10 pounds per 100 square feet. And then some bone and blood meal or some type of organic fertilizer at the recommended rate. Till all that in, give it a good drink, and you're ready to go. So if you've got a lot of work to do, take a couple weekends and do it. If it's pretty ready and you just need to freshen it up, you can do all of that and plant the same day or the next day.
And if we plant September 1st, when do we start getting to harvest? Are these 30-day, are these 90-day plants?
Well, of course, they all vary. And if you're growing, you know, a little short-type carrot, it's going to be a lot quicker than if you're trying to grow a, you know, a big carrot. You know, I would say most of the root crop-type things are probably closer to 90 days. You know, onions you plant in October, and, you know, if you're growing a, you know, big bulb dry-type onion, you know, it's going to be, you know, like 100 days or longer. Garlic, same way. You know, so some of those root crop things take a long time. Now, lettuce and spinaches and that, you can literally, as soon as they get to where you think they're big enough to start picking some leaves off, you can start doing it. And that could be just weeks and not months.
That has been my favorite. We plant several different types of lettuce, and then just you go pick your salad right off.
Absolutely.
Right off. And radishes. We do very well with radishes.
One of my farmer calls it the race car driver lettuce of all the produce. It just grows fast.
Yeah. And what that was my comment was, if you're trying to get kids engaged in the garden, plant radishes, because they come up like in 2 days. You know, you see something almost immediately. The kids aren't going out there looking. I mean, they sprout really, really fast. Radishes are a very kid-friendly crop.
Yeah, and easy to grow. Can't mess it up too bad. You know, you plant them, you got to go thin them. It gives them something to do to, you know, give them a chance to go out there and thin a few of them out, space them out a little bit. You know, there's lots going on. And then, yeah, they've got pretty immediate gratification with that one. So that's a really good one to throw in there. And the thing about radishes and some of those, too, is you can multi-crop them. So you can plant a row of those, and as you're harvesting, go right in. You can have 3, 4, 5 crops of radishes as the winter goes on.
I was introduced to a brand new radish Thursday night at the NAU restaurant, $18.99. Have you ever dined there?
No.
It's owned by the university. It's right on campus, right next to Old Main. It's called $18.99, and it's fabulous. I won't tell you what I had because Jennifer's listening, but the salad had what was called watermelon radishes. They taste like a radish, but they're very, very decorative. I mean, they're a beautiful little visual impact on your salad.
And there are just a ton of different colored radishes and taste, you know, from really hot and spicy to, you know, some of them that are just super mild. So, yeah, that's something to take in consideration with kids, too. Some kids don't like spicy things too, you know, so plant a milder radish.
And once we have it all harvested, if you're looking for a new idea or recipe, that's where?
Fillyourplate.org comes in. We have an array of them, and it's a searchable database, by the way, and there's a couple I'm going to share. I mean, we're talking about root vegetables. The Russos grow a lot of carrots. Well, Isabel Russo's carrot salad recipe is on Fill Your Plate. You got to check it out.
All right.
We're going to enjoy our root veggies.
And we'll actually go through a couple of those right after this. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. No matter where in the great state of Arizona, Labor Day may take you. Rosie on the House has you covered.